Call the roll.
Udell.
Udell here.
Udell here. Veldren. Veldren here. Wegleitner. Wegleitner here. Weigand. Weigand here. Welsh. Welsh here. Yang is excused. Andre. Andre here. Blazewicz is excused. Betcher. Betcher here. Bollig.
Bollig here.
Bollig here. Brower. Brower here. Chavla. Chavla here. Collins. Collins here. Doolin. Doolin here. Downing. Downing here. Doyle. Doyle here. Eicher.
Here.
Eicher here. Engelberger. Engelberger here. Erickson. Erickson here. Freeze. Freeze here. Glazer is excused. Gray is excused. Huselman.
Huselman here.
Huselman here. Jackson. Jackson. Kemp.
Kemp here.
Kemp here. Kigea is excused. Croning. Croning here. Marin.
Marin here.
Marin here. McCarvel.
McCarvel here.
McCarvel here. Peters is excused. Peterson. Peterson here. Possler.
Possler here.
Possler here. Ritt.
Ritt here.
Ritt here. Rose.
Rose here.
Rose here. Rylander. Rylander here. Smith. Smith here. And Miles.
Miles here.
Miles here. We have a quorum.
Okay. Is Jackson present? Otherwise, she's excused. Okay. Sorry. Forgot to add her to the list. All right. With a quorum being present, we shall move on to our inspirational message tonight being delivered by Supervisor Udell.
Mr. Chair, I rise to express my great appreciation for the job done by election workers and clerks across our county leading up to and on the day of Tuesday's election. We are fortunate to live in a county that has elected officials that consistently support making it as easy as possible for residents to cast their ballots. I want to thank Scott McDonald and his team for making sure results from all our local municipalities are reported correctly and accurately, and that all core elements were in place to ensure a free and fair election. Our county board has consistently been a great advocate to ensure the county clerk's office has the tools it needs for success, such as purchasing the former Ale Asylum facility on Madison's north side to create a safe and secure election center in collaboration with the City of Madison, which will hopefully be ready for spring 2026. Thanks to the poll workers and municipal clerks in each of our districts for operating polling places and working long hours to keep polls open, managing long lines, and count the impressive number of absentee ballots. I also want to congratulate my colleague, Maureen McCarvel, on her election victory and victory to represent the 42nd Assembly District, and I look forward to serving alongside her in that body. However, I also want to acknowledge the hurt, the grief, the pain so many folks in our area feel right now given the presidential election results. As a member of the LGBTQ plus community, I worry about whether or not my husband and I will still be able to remain married if the Supreme Court overturns Obergefell. But make no mistake, the Dane County Board of Supervisors is a progressive group of individuals fighting to ensure that our most marginalized and disadvantaged county residents have a voice at the table and access to services they need. And for that, we are so fortunate. Thank you.
You want to lead us in the pledge, please?
Yes. I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Supervisor Udell. Moving on to special matters and announcements, we have one special matter before us tonight, 2024 Resolution 192, recognizing Veterans Day 2024. Supervisor Betcher, you want to give a preference which?
I thank you all for your time. One of the hardest things I've always found being a veteran is having people come up to me and say, thank you for your service. It's just, it always makes me feel awkward. I did it for a reason. I spent my time in because of basically Tuesday, the ability for this country to still be a democracy and the opportunities at times to go to foreign countries and help them. There were many times I was deployed where it was really a service helping a country, building a road to a school for a community that couldn't get there in the middle of Honduras, or going to Saudi Arabia and helping clean up some of the munitions from the Gulf War. There were things like that where you were helping people locally. I still remember being in a truck stop in Saudi Arabia and having a truckload of us soldiers. We got in, and it's like we never got to get real food. Living in the desert for a year, eating military food is an experience that no one should have to do. But we sometimes got near the local community and we pulled into a truck stop to get food. As we were getting up to pay, all of a sudden we found out that there were 25 of us there, that another person in the truck stop had paid for all of our food and then offered to load our truck with soda and whatever we wanted to take back to the rest of our troops. And that guy was basically just a business owner in the local community, but a local person who thanked us for what we were doing. Those were the experiences that made it worthwhile. And when I think about Veterans Day, it's about how do we help people who have done those type of things for our country? And one of the best parts about being on the Dane County Board is the Veterans Service Office. The County Veterans Service Office is the way most of those veterans find a way to figure out what their benefits are and to access them. And the best way we can thank a veteran is to keep supporting that operation and make sure that it's always being considered, just as we did in our last budget. And with that said, I would now like to read Resolution 192, recognizing Veterans Day of 2024. Whereas Veterans Day, originally recognized as Armistice Day in 1918, was established in 1954 by the federal government as a legal holiday to be celebrated on November 11th to express respect and gratitude for veterans of all wars for their patriotism, commitment to country, and willingness to serve and sacrifice. And whereas, according to the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, there are over 350,000 veterans in the state of Wisconsin and an estimated 23,000 veterans in Dane County. And whereas approximately 200,000 service members currently transition to civilian communities annually, with a projected 20% increase in service members who will transition to civilian life in the near future. And whereas studies indicate that 44 to 72% of service members experience high levels of stress during transition from military to civilian life, including a high risk of suicide during the first year transitioning to civilian life after military service. And whereas veterans continue to serve the community in the American Legion, veterans of foreign wars, religious groups, civil service, and by functioning as county veteran service officers in 29 states to help former veteran service members access more than $52 billion in federal health, disability, and compensation benefits each year. And whereas Dane County appreciates the staff of the Dane County Veterans Service Office and their commitment to advocate with expertise and compassion for veterans and their families to obtain local, state, and federal benefits. And whereas the Dane County Board of Supervisors is grateful for the sacrifices of our United States military personnel. And in March 2024, the Dane County Board and Dane County further recognized veterans and their service to our nation, state, and country by passing 2023 OA-073, which established Veterans Day as November 11 each year as an official Dane County holiday for all Dane County employees, and encouraged employees to use the holiday to recognize, support, and learn more about veterans in our community. And whereas the National Association of Counties encourages all counties, parishes, and boroughs to recognize Operation Green Light for Veterans, a NACO initiative to show appreciation and support for veterans and raise awareness of veterans' issues by illuminating buildings with a green light from November 4th through the 11th, 2024. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Dane County Board of Supervisors recognizes Veterans Day 2024 and expresses its utmost respect, admiration, and gratitude for the veterans of the U.S. Armed Forces living in Dane County and elsewhere who have selflessly served our country and this community. Be it finally resolved that the Dade County Board of Supervisors supports Operation Green Light for veterans and also encourages other local governments and residents to observe Operation Green Light from November 4th through November 11th to honor veterans in our communities. Thank you.
Okay, moved by Boettcher, seconded by?
Second.
Carville?
Yep.
All in favor of approval, say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. And with that, the motion carries. And Lisa, is Dan Connery online? Okay, thank you. Dan, if you would like to make a few remarks.
I am here. Thank you, Chair Miles. I just wanted to thank the county board, supervisors there, Boettcher, and Chair Miles, and everyone for your continued support for not only for our office here in Dane County, but also for our veterans and those we serve. As was mentioned, we have a pretty substantial mission, and it's something that all of our staff are very proud of doing. We have a wide range of clientele, and we're trying to do everything we can to continue to identify people that are eligible for benefits. Just give you a real quick example. We're trying to go back and do some archival searches to find surviving spouses of veterans who served during the Vietnam War that were otherwise previously not aware of and not eligible for benefits. And just the other day, I was able to find a lady that I've identified is eligible for benefits. It took me about 45 minutes of digging and identifying through various sources of records. And I'm hoping to make contact with this lady soon. But there's just one of many things that we're doing. And in addition to keeping up with all the workload within the office itself, but the additional support for 2025 and beyond is going to make a lot of these extra projects more realistic for us moving forward. So again, a continued thank you for all of your support and all the work you do for the citizens of Dane County.
Thank you, Dan. All right. Okay, moving on to announcements. Anyone wishing to make an announcement? Supervisor Wiegand.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I rise tonight. I have two quick announcements. The first one is that I'm going to be introducing 2024 Resolution 183, which would establish an independent forensic audit of Dane County's funding given to urban triage over the last 3 years. So if you're interested in learning more about that resolution or co-sponsoring it, reach out to myself or the clerk's office. We'll get you added. Second, a little bit of sad news. I rise today also to share with my colleagues in the public, if people don't already know, a good friend and constituent of mine, Jerry Durr, passed away November 1st. For those of you that don't know Jerry, he was a leader in Dane County for the last half a century. He was the Town of Bristol supervisor and chair for a number of years. Dane County Towns Association president for many, many years, was involved in Wisconsin Towns Association, really a tremendous man, tremendous leader, tremendous servant. So I will be doing a resolution in his honor. If you'd like to learn more about that resolution or work with me on that, then please let me know. Thank you.
Supervisor Welsh.
Good evening, everyone. I just wanted to offer a bit of background on two interrelated resolutions that I'm also putting forth on behalf of the Department of Human Services Prevention and Early Intervention Division. These resolutions seek to make awards to Centro Hispano. The first one is Resolution 206, and within that, just seeking to get spending authority in the amount of $220,000 in ARPA funds to purchase 4 vans to expand access to Central Hispano programming for youth lacking this resource, and particularly those living outside of the Madison area. And then there's also Resolution 207 seeking to have the spending authority of $230,000 in ARPA funds, again, for Central Hispano, and really twofold here, to explore and lay groundwork for expanding their services for middle school and high school age Latinx youth living in and attending school in communities outside, again, of Madison, including Sun Prairie, Verona, Middleton, and Oregon. And this would be direct engagement and partnership with those local school districts. Second part of that one is also to develop programming for 4th and 5th graders within the Madison Metropolitan School District. As many of you heard from our several youth community members during the budget hearings, Central Hispano's programming encourages Latinx youth and families to celebrate their background and culture as an asset to our community and grow a true sense of belonging in Dane County. So if you'd like to touch base on that, please feel free to reach out. Otherwise, I welcome co-sponsorship on these resolutions. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Boettcher.
Thank you. I'd like to invite everybody to the Holiday Fantasy and Lights. The Electricians Union, we are finishing establishing it right now, and I'm missing the bulb check. So, but that's a sacrifice I have to make. I'll be there tomorrow night doing it. But the kickoff and the light turn on is on Saturday at 5 p.m. So if you'd like to attend, it's great. I gotta say, it's kind of a big one for me. It's now been 33 years that this has been going on. The very first one, I was a second year apprentice and we built a giant X-Wing Starfighter. I've never figured out where it ended up, but it's gone now. And we started in Warner Park with literally 9 displays. It's now obviously much bigger than that, and it grows every year, and it's a true $0 operation. The donations basically pay for it, and the sponsorships, and then the excess money we have at the end of the year are donated to the many nonprofit organizations that provide the donation collection booths. So please get out there and have a good time, and if any of you would like a tour to know how it runs and has been set up for so many years, I'd be happy to give that to you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Any other announcements? Okay, seeing no one else, I have a few. Let me begin with our November birthdays. We have 2 supervisors with birthdays this month, the first being Supervisor Blazewicz was on November 3rd, and Supervisor Chavala coming up on November 23rd. So happy birthday to both of you. Let me move next to, I know you're all, well, we're probably all in a sugar coma, but here's the cookie bake-off results. Tied for second or three tied?
Three tied for second.
Oh, so there is no third place. We're just doing 3 people tied for second place. Supervisor Andre with her illegal cookies and Supervisor Castillo. I'm not Supervisor, Chief of Staff Castillo, sorry. Habits. And Josh, all tied for second place. So. Oh, I don't know. What was your cookie?
Brown butter chocolate chip coffee, number 5.
There you go. That was a good one. Yeah. Cecily, what was your cookie? Snickerdoodle. And the legal entry was what?
Lemon almond extract thyme cookies, recipe of a constituent.
It was a very good cookie, but I'm partial to almond extracts. So. And first place goes to Tommy Rhinelander. Supervisor Rhinelander, what was your cookie?
There were the cardamom molasses ones.
I'm sorry, what was it?
Cardamom molasses ones.
Yeah. Okay, and you being the winner, there you go. On the medal?
Thank you.
And do you have a choice of where the proceeds will go to?
Oh, on the spot?
You don't have to announce now.
I'm not just prepared for this moment.
Okay. All right. Very good. Just, all right. Well, congratulations. All right. And then let me just finish up with a couple other things. I want to extend my congratulations to Supervisor McCarville and Supervisor Udell for now being representative-elects. Congratulations on your elections to the Assembly. So good luck to you, and thank you for your service going to that level. And then we have Interim Executive Kuhn in the House, and she'll be finishing up her time in office early next week. So I want to extend my thanks for you for stepping up and for doing an incredible job. You're much more than a placeholder in that seat. You really left an indelible mark for the better, and left a great impression in your work on this year's budget. So thank you for your service. Did you want to say something, or just, I can't turn on the mics back there, so. Okay. Yep. All right. I'll be going somewhere for an after-meeting beverage, and have invited Executive Kuhn out, so if you want to see her and give her your thanks and farewell, join us. So, all right, with that, I think those are my announcements. And moving on then to approval of payments. We have before us the bills over $10,000 referred to the county board. Is there a motion? Moved by Doyle, seconded by Udell. Discussion, questions on the payments over $10,000? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. And with that, the bills are, payment of the bills is approved. So we're on to denial of claims. We have three items before us. Are there any requests for separation? Being no requests for separation on items 1 through 3 for denial of claims. Is there a motion I should ask first? Moved by Peterson. Is there a second? Seconded by Postler. Discussion, questions on the claims for denial? Hearing none, all in favor of denial of these claims, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. With that, the motion carries. Those claims are denied. So we're on to approval of board minutes. We have before us the minutes of October 9th, 10th, October 28th, and October 30th. Any requests for separation with those, or is there a motion? Moved by Doolin, seconded by Postler. Discussion, questions, corrections to any of those meeting minutes? Hearing none, all in favor of approval, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. With that, the motion carries. The minutes, meeting minutes are adopted or approved. Pardon me. Okay. On to item F, our section F, consent calendar. We have 13 items before before us. Are there any requests for separation? Supervisor Wegleitner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to be recorded as abstaining on F2 and record as voting no on F7.
Okay. Can you have that? Okay. All right. Any requests for separation? All right. And what's before us are committee recommendations. So all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. And with that, the motion carries. Those 13 items are Approved. On to H, reports on zoning commission, zoning petitions. We have registrants on H1, so I will separate that. On the balance of items 2 through 12, are there any requests for separation? Okay, hearing no requests for separation, what's before us is Zoning Land Regulation Committee action on those 11 remaining items. All in favor of approval, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. That motion carries. Those zoning petitions are adopted. And we're on to H1. Let me jump to that. So H1 is petition 12,091, rezone petition, and registered. Let me see, let me get to my registrations. All right, we have registrants wishing to speak. The first registrant wishing to speak in opposition is Sarah Osborne. She is online, so Lisa, if you'd promote her, and then she will be followed by Greg Geyer.
I have promoted her to speak.
All right, Sarah, you've been promoted, so you can unmute, and you have up to 5 minutes to address the board. You need to unmute.
Sarah, you've been promoted to speak. She declined.
She's declined?
No, I'm here.
Oh, there we go. Welcome. Welcome, Sarah. You have up to 5 minutes to address the board.
Thank you. I just want to talk about, obviously, Van Holten's and the town of Medina and how we had, you know, 238 signatures of people in our township that did not want Van Holten's here regarding destroying the farmland by removing all the topsoil, putting in gravel, putting in vats. You know, our comprehensive plan states that we use little farmland to be used. I mean, they're going to be using basically 10 acres of the 16 that they're partly going to be rezoning. Also, just road safety concerns, visibility concerns. Obviously, visually, you know, our township, we're very rural. And to look at that piece with pickle vats, I mean, that's destroying our character of our township. Obviously, with them frequently using our roads, that's destroying our roads. It's also a very huge safety concern for residents, people visiting. And, you know, they're claiming to be a good neighbor, but yet they've never let us come and visit the facility, look at anything. Visually, it's just going to be an eyesore. And then what is it going to do to our property values of their surrounding neighborhoods? Obviously, that's not something that can be assessed because it's not built, and to find a comparable that's not easily accessible. We've talked to different appraisers to find out. It just can't be done. So like, what is gonna happen to our property value as a household? Obviously, I feel like it's gonna be very depreciated. Who's gonna compensate that? Also, who's gonna guarantee that we're gonna have enough water supply, that our well's not gonna go dry? Are they going to, the water, is it going to spew into the Monashaw? Obviously, there's a lot of concerns, and that's, I just don't feel like it, this is the proper place for it. It's currently zoned in Waterloo, which is only a quarter or three quarter mile away and they're zoned industrial, and that's what this business is. It's not, it's manufacturing. We don't, the safety of the roads, driving semis up and down, that's just not safe. I mean, they're keep changing the amount of trucks that are going to be going back and forth. And now it's max when they're fully 10 semi trucks a day. There's no way that they can travel our road going around these blind corners and not cross the center line. There's no shoulder. If I were to be walking on the road and another vehicle coming, where am I to go? Nowhere. There's going to be ending up a death. And it's going to be tragic. I just really wish that people would come out and visualize what the road is. And I know we submitted pictures. That just is not justifying it enough. Thank you.
Thank you. Since we only have four speakers, I'll go one at a time. Are there any questions for our speaker? Okay. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Moving on, our next registrant is Greg Geyer, wishing to speak in favor. He's on Zoom.
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can. Go ahead. You have up to 5 minutes to
address some more. I would just like to say this has been thoroughly vetted through the town of Medina and also through the Dane County Planning Commission. I mean, it is the intended purpose of the land. And I'm here to answer any questions that anybody wants to put forth.
Okay. Any questions for Greg Geyer? Mm-hmm. Next registrant is Steve. Oh, I'm sorry. You weren't there a moment ago. There you go. Go ahead, Supervisor Downing. Question for Mr. Geyer.
Sir, would you tell us how the town board dealt with the 238 signatures opposing this, please?
It was brought to our attention from the town chairman that the manner of how those were gathered was, he didn't come out and say, but he was really willing to talk to the Osbournes separately. And that's as far as I know, but he did question how those were gathered and the intent.
Yep. Oh.
Who was the town board member opposed and who abstained?
Abstained was Sue Zinsheim. Opposed was Philip Braithwaite.
Did the abstainer give a reason?
We donate to the town of Medina, or to Waterloo and Marshall Food Pantry, and she thought that could be a conflict of interest because she sits on the board or she's the president of it.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions from anyone? Okay, confirmed. No one else with questions, so thank you, Mr. Geyer. Next registrant is Steve Burns, wishing to speak in support. Steve will be followed by Willie Osborne.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can. Go ahead.
Great. I'm Steve Burns, president and owner of Van Holten's, and really just wanted to be here in case anybody had any questions that they had for us. Greg, our project engineer, had addressed a few of them there, but wanted to open up for questions. And just for confirmation, we met with the town of Medina. You know, they had five meetings to review this. So, and we made significant changes to improve the project for our surrounding neighbors and that type of thing. So a lot of steps have made to make it hopefully, you know, fit as best as it can with the town's desires, with the neighbor's input and that kind of thing. So again, just want to be here for any questions or anything that anybody else has for us.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay. Any questions for Steve? Supervisor Peterson.
Steve, thank you for hopping on. I'm just curious, how far down the road on Canal Road is this property from your main production facility?
You bet. It's 0.7 miles, which is what, you know, which is why we purchased the property, the efficiencies that it gives us in being as close to our main operations is, you know, is really beneficial.
In a former life, I used to work at Trek Bicycles and used to ride my bikes down Canal Road to get to the trails. Is that still the case? Do bikers still go down Canal Road or has Trek, do you get the trails from
you know, time? I spoke to the trail manager at Trek and they still use it some, but they have since you were there, they've built a pathway that goes across, if you remember the malt house, kind of goes across through the fields there. And they said that the majority of their traffic is now using that. He expressed that he had no concerns about our project. His concern was, could they use our land for parking for some of their events.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
Supervisor Peterson, next time we stay in.
Oops, sorry.
Whether questions or statements, so just a reminder. Thank you. All right. Any other questions? All right. Thank you, Steve. On to Willie Osborne wishing to speak in opposition.
Yes, this is Willie. Yes, this is Willie.
Welcome. You have up to 5 minutes to address the board.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. First of all, my name is Willie Osborne, and I was the one that had the 238 signatures on the petition. Now, I had since talked to the board member, Todd, the president of the board, and asked him what he intended and what he meant by the statement saying that I had done something underhanded or somehow manipulated the signatures. If you would wish to talk to Todd, he's not here, unfortunately, but he can guarantee you that is not what happened. So what I was accused of doing was I had 238 signatures on there, and it was supposed to be all my friends that signed it. That is the furthest thing from the truth. I had five friends on that signature that signed the petition, and that is it. So that's a complete falsehood. The rest of them were neighbors from all over the whole township, from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I spent probably about 150 hours gathering 238 signatures. Out of the 238 signatures that I gathered, there was actually 248 households I stopped to. 10 of the households said they would not sign it. 4 of them said no, they wouldn't, because they wanted not to sign it at all. 6 said they would sign it if they had more information. So that's how the petition went down. As far as the safety concerns on the road, I think it was the second and third meeting with Steve Burns in the building with us. I asked him about the safety concerns on the road. He said it really wasn't his problem. It was the problem of the trucks. They weren't his pickles until they were put into the vats. So that was his concern about the traffic on the road. Now, as far as the traffic goes on the road, they have changed the number of trucks from the very beginning of whatever need they seem to have it fit. At first, it was 10 trucks. Then it was reduced down to 3 trucks. And then it was an average of 3.7 trucks. And it was 7 trucks. And I think in front of the Dane County thing, it was 10 trucks. I don't know, but there's going to be a lot of trucks put on the road. Now, safety concerns on the road are far, far, far among anything that should be posted as a major concern of what's happening to this project. When you have bicycles, which we just addressed just with the question about Trek Bicycle. Let me back up to that. Trek Bicycle does use it, and they don't use it, honestly, as frequently as they used to, but they still use it. Now, that's not the major concern, because we still have kids on the road constantly during the summer months of July all the way through August and September when they're going to harvest the pickles and bring them in. That's when the most traffic is going to be done, and that's when we have the most traffic on our road. So the road itself is being used constantly by young children. There's school buses that come on the road at that time also. And we also have to worry about UTVs and people walking generally there. It's a very quiet, peaceful road right now. and to have it turned into a traffic flow is just something that should not be done. Now, the number one concern about safety falls back to where they are zoned. They are zoned right now, as we said earlier, as industrial. Industrial has reasons for that. They're set up so that you have a causeway, if you will, or a way of bringing trucks in and bringing trucks out safely. They're on Highway 19 right now, where it's flat and the traffic can be seen from everywhere. The three major hills that run on this road are on top of Drumlins. They're blind hills. You can't see on either side of them until you're over the top. Now, that is a major, major concern. It would never happen anywhere if you're going to build a business. And that's what this is. They're building a business. This is a manufacturing facility. It's not a storage facility. They claim that it's a storage facility to put their pickles into the ground and store them. Well, that's not what they're doing. They're putting them in the ground and fermenting them. It's the very first step in the manufacturing of that pickle. If they don't have that step, they cannot produce that pickle. So to store a pickle, you would store it at 55 degrees and it would last about 15 days. So storage is not it. Manufacturing is it. I think that's about all the concerns I have. I wish I could say more. Oh, yeah, just briefly, I'll touch back on Trek. Trek just had a major event here just a couple weekends ago, right in front of the road where the facility is going to be. And there was constant flow. I have pictures of bicycles on the road all day long. So to tell me that Trek isn't using it is a falsehood. So I guess that's about it. I want to thank you for your time. Thank you so much. Bye.
All right. Thank you. Hold on, Willie. Supervisor Downing has a question for you.
Thank you. Sir, do you see any further changes that could be made that would alleviate your concerns?
I don't see any way that you can make that road safe. There's no way because there's no shoulders. None whatsoever, zero. It's barely wide enough for two cars, let alone a car, a semi, bicycles, and everything else that's going on. So I don't know any way that it could be made safe. It should be on a major highway.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any further questions? Okay. That takes care of registrants for H1, petition 12,091 in the town of Medina. What is before us is Zoning and Land Regulation Committee recommendation of approval with conditions. Discussion on the motion. Supervisor Downing. Discussion. Go ahead.
Move to re-refer.
Okay, Supervisor Downing moves to re-refer. Is there a second? All right, hearing no second. Okay, we have a second from Supervisor Wegleitner. All right, on the motion to re-refer, discussion on that. Supervisor Downing.
Well, it just appears to me that 238 citizens were not listened to. I think they should be given another chance at the town board level.
Okay. Yes, baby.
Mr. Osborne, can you please mute yourself? Thank you. And maybe they could be demoted, Lisa, please, since they're done. Okay, Supervisor Doolin.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to rise against re-referral, namely because there is, we had already postponed this one time because we didn't have town action. We had a robust discussion about it, and in the grand scheme of things, the population of the town of Medina is more than 200 people. And we did respectfully wait for town action. And in our estimation, the Dane County or Zoning and Land Regulation, if there isn't anything that's particularly objectionable about the way that the town or the town did their action, we tend to respect what the town board does. To go against that would actually jeopardize the relationship between the town board and the county. So okay. That's my take on that. So I'm against re-referral.
Supervisor Chavla.
Thanks, Chair Miles. I don't know if this is germane, but I have no idea about re-referral because I don't really, quite frankly, I don't really know too much about this. Can we ask zoning staff to maybe give us an overview of what happened here? It looks like, reading the notes, it looks like there was a lot of restrictions put on here and that there was some actions, and it seems like maybe staff could enlighten us if that's germane to re-referral.
Thank you, Supervisor Chavla, because I was going to ask a question myself. So if somebody from Planning and Development could come up and address Supervisor Chavla's request, and my question was going to be similar in that, as noted in the motion, it was approval with conditions. Were some of those conditions the result of some of the concerns and objections that were raised at ZLR? Go ahead.
Okay. Roger Lane, Dane County Zoning Administrator. The Van Holtens submitted an application sometime around June. It was placed on the September 24th Zoning and Land Regulation Committee for a public hearing. Between June and September, there was approximately five meetings with the town of Medina. They went through the application. There were concerns regarding lighting. Lighting was significantly reduced to dark sky lighting and only lighting around the buildings and none out in the fields. There was concerns regarding traffic safety. The location of the driveway was approved by the town of Medina. There is a 300-foot visibility clearance so that the intersection or the driveway for the Van Holtens pickle fermentation field and Canal Road is safe. There's approximately about a mile and a half from the proposed site to Highway 19, traveling along Canal Road. It is a straight path right to Highway 19, and then the vehicles traveling in that area go up 19 right into Waterloo to the Van Holten plant. There was discussion about traffic, and when the harvesting season for cucumbers are happening, there's approximately seven trucks a day that will visit the site. And then when the pickles are fermented, there's approximately five trucks a day. So staff felt that that was a very low volume. It is Canal Road is your typical town road. It's a 20-foot width, and it manages. You know, it's for intermittent use. When the month prior to the public hearing, we did provide notice to all the neighborhood. And that's the notice basically provides all the neighborhood with information. If they have any questions or concerns about the project, call Planning and Development. It also informs them about Legistar and seeing the application. Once again, it says if you have any questions or concerns, contact Planning and Development Department. It details about the public hearing. And also, if you want to speak or if you want to provide any written material, there's two items. The one, you have to register within 30 minutes of the meeting. And the second one, if you want written testimony, that you provide it to us a week prior so that we can put it in the registrar. But we do accept material up into the public hearing. One item, we have not seen the petition. The only information that was submitted was the information in Legistar. I believe it says Osborne submittal, but we have not seen the 234 named petitions. The Zoning and Land Regulation Committee held a public hearing September 24th. There was no town action. There was only three people that spoke in support of the petition. The petition was postponed and then taken up at the October 24th Zoning and Land Regulation Committee, which it was recommended for approval with conditions. The conditions say that they have to abide by their operations plan. Their operations plan gives very detailed information on exactly what they're doing on the site. There's a site plan showing stormwater management, so that's going to be controlled, and all the stormwater per Dane County rules can only be leave the site in a pre-developed condition. And plus they also have a stormwater detention basin, which will take out the sediment, and it'll be a lot cleaner rather than just running off a field. Does anybody have any questions? That's I could talk a little more, but I think that's about the gist.
Supervisor Chavlo, did you have a follow-up?
Yeah, I just have one follow-up question. So the 234 signature petition wasn't submitted to Dane County. Was it submitted to the local municipality, or is it available anywhere where we could access it, or I don't know.
It has not been submitted to Dane County, and I'm unaware if it was submitted to the town of Medina.
Okay. All right. Chair Miles, can I ask, I don't know if this is in order, but can we go back and ask a speaker if they could somehow make that petition, those signatures available to us, or if there's someplace we can find that?
This is Sarah Osborne. I submitted them to the our.
Sarah, who did you submit it to? Since you already started answering.
Sorry, I did bring it. Our town board has the whole copy of it. Okay. And I did bring it to the October meeting, and I did show what our petition was. And I did have the signatures there, but nobody asked for it. And I didn't know I had to submit it. Okay. But our board has it.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's all I had, thanks.
Thank you. All right. Supervisor Croning.
Hi there, thank you, Roger. Could you tell us, like, what's the truck traffic versus, like, an active mineral extraction site that would be in a similar location?
A mineral extraction site that's active generally has about 100 to 200 trucks a day on an active day coming in and out. You know, a typical household is 10 vehicle trips a day, per DOT standards. So, you know, it will probably have less traffic than a single family house, although it'll be a truck rather than a car.
Thank you.
Supervisor Downing for a second time.
Well, this is a question for Roger. Roger, looking at the staff analysis, would you tell us how the statement here that says current proposal would be considered farm-related development, and would you tell us how that squares with further down the mention of business uses in the Ag Preservation District would be considered only if, and they list a half a dozen reasons, which include rural character of the town maintained. And others, but we did hear from the petitioners that they felt the rural character would be gone. Would you please talk a little bit about that and maybe these other half a dozen conditions? Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Town Medina participates in the farmland preservation program, and they pride themselves on agriculture and rural life. The if the cucumbers were actually grown on this property, they would be allowed to process them and ferment them on site under the FP35 zoning district. The only factor that comes into play is that the cucumbers are not grown on the site. So it does fall under agricultural because they are working with an agricultural product.
All right, thank you.
Supervisor Doolin, question or comment?
Thank you. Yeah, question. Question for Roger. So based on this, what is the technical change in the rezone? Like, what can't they do now, or what couldn't they do before the rezone that they can do now?
Yeah, we looked at this, and, you know, the first, we thought they were going to be, you know, raising cucumbers on the site and pickling them, and that would have been just fine, but they said, no, we actually produce them in other fields and bring them there. That falls under the category of farmland preservation business. It is an agricultural business, so something similar, you know, co-ops or fall under agricultural business. It's a business that has a very strong agricultural component. They're basically taking cucumbers, putting them in giant buckets. They sit there for 3 months, and then they harvest them.
Okay, so what would be the permitted uses on this land? I'm sorry, could I follow up? I should have asked that first.
Go ahead.
Thank you. What would be if the rezone didn't go through, what would the permitted uses of this land be?
You can use it for all agricultural uses. So you could raise cattle or use it as dairy, or you could raise pigs on it. You could crop it. We have one in the town of Dane that raises grain and ferments that into whiskey, which is permitted by right.
And if they were to, say, ferment grain into whiskey or whatever, they raised it and did that, would that change the truck traffic somehow? Would that make it less than this couple times a year when the pickles?
No, if it was, you know, there's enough land there that you could raise probably 100 head of cattle, and that would have a significant more impact on trucking, especially if it's a dairy operation. They pick up milk every day, and there's feed and manure that has to be spread. So it could be quite active.
Right. Thank you.
All right. Any further questions or discussion? Thank you, Roger. All right, Supervisor Downing, for a second time on re-referral.
Okay, well, I would just like to expand a little bit on the point or the question and the answer I got from Roger, which is it doesn't appear to me that even though the zoning department has said that this is, where are the words here? farm-related development. It doesn't appear to me that because they've not met the six criteria of business uses, especially rural character maintained, that we ought to send it back to the committee and let them explain that a little more. Thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion on re-referral of the zoning petition? All right, hearing no further discussion on the motion to re-refer petition 12091 to the Zoning and Land Regulation Committee. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
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 No. No.
And with that, motion fails. So we're back to what is before us is the Zoning and Land Regulation Committee motion to approve with conditions. Any further discussion on the main motion? Okay. All in favor of approval, say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. With that, motion carries and the petition is adopted. That takes care of reports on zoning petitions. So we are on to item I, ordinances. We have three items before us. First being 2024-OA-11, amending Chapter 82 of the Dane County Code of Ordinances, incorporating amendments to the Town of Cross Plains Comprehensive Plans and to the Dane County Comprehensive Plan. What is before us is the Zoning and Land Regulation Committee recommendation for approval. It's their discussion comment on OA-11. Hearing none, all in favor of approval, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. That motion carries. OA-11 is adopted. On to item 2, 2024-OA-14, amending Chapter 82 of the 82 to adopt amendments to the Town of Primrose Comprehensive Plan as part of the Dane County Comprehensive Plan. What is before us is the Zoning Land Regulation Committee recommendation of approval. Discussion on OA-14. Hearing none, all in favor of approval, say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. That the motion carries. Item 3 is 2024-OA-15, amending Chapter 82 to adopt amendments to the Dane County Farmland Preservation Plan as part of the Dane County Comprehensive Plan. Again, what is before us is Zoning and Land Regulation recommendation of approval. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of approval, say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. That motion carries. So that takes us to section L, appointments. What is before us is 2024 Resolution 193, County Executive Appointments. This was recommended for approval by Executive Committee earlier this evening. Any discussion, questions on Resolution 193? Hearing none, all in favor of approval, say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. That motion carries. Resolution 193 is adopted. We're on to M, items requiring more than a simple majority. We have five items before us. Are there any requests for separation, Supervisor Postler?
No request for separation, just would like to be recorded as abstaining on item 4 due to my employment.
Thank you. Okay. All right. So clerk will record that. Thank you. Any request, Supervisor Wegleitner?
Thank you, Chair. No request for separation, but would like to be recorded as voting no on 4 because the Drug Task Force does not make safe neighborhoods.
Okay. Thank you. Supervisor Chavla?
Chavla is recorded as no on 4 as well.
Okay. All right. One last call for any requests for separation. We have a couple of requests for be recorded as no on a couple and then one abstention. All right. So with those exceptions, and Supervisor Hulsman would like to be recorded as on item 4, no as well. With that, I would like to record these items of having passed with more than a simple majority. Supervisor Rose, no, as well. Okay. With those exceptions aside, I'd like to record them as having passed with a more than simple majority, if there's no objection. Hearing no objection, will be so recorded. Those items are adopted. And that takes us to over-scrolled here. That takes us to other such businesses allowed by law. Anybody have anything here? All right. Then I will take a motion to adjourn. Oh, before we adjourn, let me also... Ah! Gotcha. couple of things to note. One, cookie entries, you can pick up your dishes. Don't forget them. Are they out there? Or are they up in the... Yeah, they're still outside the chambers. Reminder, I think Cecily had this in an email, but our next meeting is the 21st. There'll be a couple shifts of photo opportunities for us all to have consistent headshots for the website. So those are at, is it 5 and 5:30? 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock. Yep. Okay. So, yeah, shifts at 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock. So I think there's a sign-up in one of Cecily's emails, so please refer back to that. There's something else on the 21st. Oh, yeah. After budget party, the post-budget celebration. Yes, I'm hosting that. It'll be after the board meeting in the lower level of the Argus. So I will be inviting department heads and committee staff as well, because this budget cycle is a good example of collaboration, partnership to get it done. So with that, is there a motion to adjourn? Moved by Erickson. Seconded by Doolin. If there's no objection, we are adjourned. Thank you all.